This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a festive block party and gallery stroll, a kids' musical, or a festival honoring a legendary trumpeter, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The Arts District New Orleans gears up for a festive silver anniversary celebration this weekend. The Contemporary Arts Center is ground zero as Hancock Whitney White Linen Night turns 25. Arts District Director Marcella Correa is here with the CAC's Associate Director of External Affairs, Laura Tennyson. Welcome.
Thank you.
The city's arts district continues to grow and excite our creative senses. What are your thoughts about the district's coming of age?
This is Marcella. I think the fact that we have been doing this for 25 years now is really wonderful, and it really speaks to the volumes of people coming and really appreciating what the cultural district has been doing and the collaboration with the CAC. Hopefully we can have another 25 years of this event.
How did the idea for White Linen Night come about?
Basically, in the 1980s, the galleries moved in to our warehouse district after the 84 World's Fair. And then from there, a lot of the developers reached out to the galleries. And so galleries like Gallery Simone Stern moved in. You later had Arthur Roger move in. And it was really then when they decided, you know, they were showing contemporary art and it was something that was relatively new to New Orleans. So they decided that they really needed to stand out in some way. And so that's kind of where the inception of events such as Jammin' on Julia, Art for Art's Sake with the CAC, and then White Linen Night came about. It was really because of Donna Parrott from Gallery Simone Stern, which has now closed, who wanted to do something that would basically bring people down to the district on a hot summer month.
In August.
Because no one wanted to go to the galleries basically from June to almost September. It was a pretty dead summer. In 1994 is when they finally started this event, White Linen Night. And it was obviously much smaller than it is now, but it was really successful. Mm-hmm. And they had about 6,000-7,000 people come through.
This is Laura. It's an incredible New Orleans story, you know, when you think of the 90s. And, you know, as far as the CAC opening in 1972, you know, that was also kind of a landmark spark into the warehouse district that used to be just warehouses in support of the shipping industry and kind of had fallen on hard times. So in 72, CAC arrives, attracts other artistic people who opened up these incredible galleries on Julia Street. And in 94, that landmark event with White Linen Night. And the rest is history, as they would say, or artistic history.
And at that time, it was just the galleries that were doing White Linen Night. So it was probably about 3-4 years that the galleries did it on their own. And then they brought in the CAC as a partner for the community, realizing that it was actually a really successful event and that the CAC could then use it also as a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And so that's really how it kind of flourished into the event that it is today.
So let's get this party started. How will you celebrate 25 years of art and artists?
There are so many things planned. 16 galleries, institutions, the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, the Contemporary Arts Center is presenting Identity Measures. It's a big open call exhibition. Even the World War II Museum is presenting an incredible art exhibition. Then on the street, on Julia Street, there's going to be an array of activations as well. Folks will be able to walk from block to block and experience art. For example, the Young Artists and Young Aspirations program will have an exhibition on the street and will actually be creating some art. Legendary artist Bob Tannen is also going to be presenting the lifeboat named Nola, which is a boat on Julia Street, an art installation in which he's going to convey the need for us to focus on the environment and the coastal lands of Louisiana. I can't wait to see how that manifests itself.
And that big exhibit at the CAC, the open call exhibit, mm-hmm. Identity Measures. How is identity being explored?
Around 23 different artists will explore how their identity was shaped. It's being curated by Dr. Jordan Americani from the American University, and they wanted to explore gender, race, class, and how artists have explored how that has come to be in their lives and then how it's shaping the work that they do. And those are the kind of issues that are going to be presented in the work. It's artists that are local and regional within 250 miles of New Orleans, and they submitted their work and it was selected by the curator for this show.
And what is the conversation you hope the exhibit will start among viewers?
Well, you know, right now, as we all are facing the political issues of today and of identity and of race and of class and who am I and where am I going and how can we affect our community and how who I am affects our community. I think those are the issues that we want the viewers to kind of take away and grapple with and explore with all of these different artistic presentations.
Can you describe a work or two that you found compelling?
One piece really was just beautifully and stark and just spoke to me, and that was by the artist Rewa. It's colorful. It's a visual representation of a woman, but she's kind of carved out in colors. And to me, it speaks to my identity and the shaping of my identity. It consists of many different colorful pieces almost inside me. That's what I see in Rewa's work. She's an aspiring artist, and we're really thrilled to have her in this show.
And Marcella, can you tell us about the other galleries that will have openings for the celebration?
Yes. At Jonathan Farrar Gallery, we're going to present works by Tony DeGrotti, who is most well known for a jazz musician. He does these beautiful works where he cuts out books and sort of collages them together. The Hall Barnett Gallery just opened up on Julia Street in July, and they have a group exhibition of different contemporary artists that are new to producing artwork. So that'll be kind of nice to give people this chance to kind of put their foot in the door. Additionally, Lemieux Galleries has a group exhibition. They do an open call. And M Contemporary also has a group exhibition. You can see some work by Frederick Guess. There's some beautiful works by James Strambotny, which I'm pretty obsessed with. They're kind of these beautiful, more modern-looking pieces, but they're really beautifully executed. As Laura mentioned, the National World War II Museum is actually going to be open late this year, which normally they are not. And they are going to be featuring works by Guy de Modeleur, which is going to be really a nice kind of historical point of view.
And will there be an after party at the CAC this year?
Yes, definitely. In keeping with our history, we're going to culminate the event with an after dark experience that starts at 8 and goes till midnight. And it will feature DJ Rockaway. And Vin Santos will be presenting High Identities, a NOLA drag workshop presentation of drag. That's going to be really exciting. It's kind of an added element. And we have some art activations and just a lot of fun.
And as you look ahead, what's your vision for the Arts District in the next 25 years?
Getting people more excited about art, not just going to see it, but seeing how they can participate both in an intellectual way, but also maybe actually creating art.
Or buying art.
Or buying art. Buying art is important.
Demystifying the art of collecting beautiful works of art and supporting the local artists that are in New Orleans. That is a celebration at Whiteland and Knight as well.
You have a lot to be proud of.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Arts District Director Marcella Correa and CAC Associate Director of External Affairs Laura Tennyson. Thanks for sharing your time.
Thank you.
The Hancock Whitney White Linen Night 25th Anniversary Celebration kicks off Saturday, August 3rd in the 300 to 700 blocks of Julia Street and throughout the Arts District from 5:30 p.m. until midnight. It is free and open to the public. More info is online at cacno.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The internationally acclaimed musical, Matilda, based on the children's book by Roald Dahl, rounds out the 52nd season for Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane. We are joined in studio by cast members Ellie Bono and Savannah Fushi, who share the title role, and director Michael McElfee. Welcome.
Thanks for having us on, Diane.
Michael, how did you come to choose this whimsical children's musical for your final summer offering?
Matilda was such a huge hit in London and on Broadway. And when you pick a show you want to do, you have to make sure the rights are available. I had been waiting about 4 years to finally get a hold of this show. So we're the first professional company in Louisiana to do the show, besides the tour that came through. So we couldn't be more excited.
Tell me, what's the storyline?
So Matilda is about a five-year-old girl who, besides having powers of telekinesis, she's extremely intelligent. She's an avid reader and just the most inquisitive young person you could ever find. And her parents are the polar opposite. They ignore her. She almost lives a life of solitude within a household of four people. So she finds her solace in these books because her family doesn't seem to care about her. And in doing so, she creates her own whimsical world. And then she encounters some people who she can identify with or that see that special quality about her. Her teacher, Miss Honey, the librarian, Mrs. Phelps, who she tells stories to all the time. But then there is an arch nemesis besides the family in the headmistress of the school where she attends. And that's Miss Trunchbull, Agatha Trunchbull. It's really a story about this young girl coming out of her shell, becoming the heroine of her class, protecting her fellow classmates, working with them as a team, and overcoming the evil Miss Trunchbull. But really finding love at the end, finding family with people who really identify with her, like Miss Honey.
And Ellie and Savannah, how are you sharing the title role, Matilda?
Every other show we switch off. While Ellie's on stage doing it, I'll be in the audience like rehearsing and pretending like I'm up on stage, and then we'll switch. It's so fun sharing a role because it's like you have someone that you can talk about the character with, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, you have someone going through it with you, and I think it's awesome.
Tell me about your powers, your psychic powers.
So Matilda has this incredible mind where she can move things with her eyes. For example, she could like knock over a glass of water and she doesn't really realize it until like more of the end of the story. And it's really cool.
It's basically like she has so much knowledge and power and she builds up all of this energy from being just kind of like verbally abused and beaten her entire life. Then she's just finally like something happens in her and she can move things with her eyes.
So now are you using these powers for good or for evil?
Well, we use it for good, but yeah. We use it to kind of help, like, if you're, like, treated unfairly, then you want to kind of, like, get revenge. And it's not like she's being a bad kid. She's just, like, kind of feeling like I've been good my entire life and kind of just taken all of this bad stuff, and now I'm just going to kind of get my revenge on the bad people.
What makes the character, Mrs. Trunchbull, so evil?
Well, she is evil. She's evil incarnate. She's overly strict. Agatha Trunchbull at one point was an Olympic hammer thrower. So she's very large in stature, but also has that militant discipline of an athlete. And she wants all of the students to follow that same sort of discipline. And these are kids we're talking about. So there's only a certain amount of rigor you can put in a child's schedule before they'll revolt. She's overly harsh in her punishment and often sends children to this place called Chokey, which is this evil room or closet with sharp objects that we just hear the imaginative stories of Chokey, and it lets your mind wander of what sadistic things could wait ahead of a child when they're put into timeout, so to speak, in the world of Agatha Trunchbull. And since Matilda premiered in London, it's always been played by a man, an actor, for that physical size. And we're blessed to have Matt Reed play our Agatha Trunchbull, and he's just one of the most creative people I know in town.
Who else is in the cast?
Stephanie Toops, who's originally from the Baton Rouge area. She now lives in New York. She's playing Miss Honey. Ken Good Jr. and Jesse Terrebonne Thompson are playing Matilda's parents, the Wormwoods. And then we have some of the most talented young people in the greater New Orleans area filling out the kids in the classroom and also the older teenagers. And Chad Garrick Howe is playing the doctor. He's kind of our MC for the opening of the show. Yeah, just a really talented cast, not only of young people, but of some professional actors here in town, too.
What will kids and adults come away with after this magical theater experience?
I think that, like, knowledge is just a huge thing, and you can really tell because the Wormwood family all, like, watches TV, and they're kind of, like, not the smartest. And yeah. But then you see Matilda, and all of her knowledge, and she loves reading, and everything makes her so smart and so special. So it's just kind of, like, that you want to strive to get as much knowledge as possible and not just stare in front of the TV all day.
Mm-hmm. I hope that kids walk away from the show. I hope that adults walk away from the show wanting to read again. One of the most beautiful things about this show is the magic that's contained in books. So I hope people take that away and say, oh my gosh, I need to go out and buy a book, not read it on my Kindle, like buy a hardcover book and love those pages and the smell of it. I think that's what's brought this back for me again, because I love books and I hope the audience will rediscover them.
Actresses Ellie Bono and Savannah Fushi and director Michael McKelvey. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane presents the internationally acclaimed Tony Award-winning musical, Matilda, with performances running August 1st through 4th in Tulane's Dixon Hall. Satchmo Summerfest, presented by Chevron, gets underway this weekend, honoring the life and legacy of legendary trumpeter and native son, Louis Armstrong. The festival falls under the umbrella of French Quarter Festivals, Inc., and CEO Emily Madero is here with a look at this year's celebration. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So how are you honoring Louis Armstrong this year?
I am so excited about the festival this year. I mean, every year it's almost a family reunion. It is a labor of love, and we have people from all throughout the country and even internationally, as well as locals, come back in spite of the heat every year. But the lineup is really tremendous. Every day is going to be featuring the best of New Orleans, and we have some special new things. On Friday, August 2nd, it is really a jammed-packed lineup. Kermit Ruffins and the Barbecue Swingers will be coming back, followed by one of our debuts this year that I'm particularly excited about. Cyril Neville will be playing, as well as Charmaine Neville, on back-to-back stages. And then we'll close it out with Corey Henry and the Treme Funktet. Friday, August 2nd is going to be quite the party. You should come after work and come enjoy some music.
Now, the majority of the events take place at the old U.S. Mint.
Everything takes place at the Jazz Museum at the Mint, and we've got two outdoor stages that will be playing concurrently. And we also have an indoor stage, so you can go in and enjoy a little bit of AC and check out all that the Jazz Museum has to offer. Of course, the entrance fee for the festival is $6, and that covers your entrance into the museum as well. The Hilton Satchmo Legacy Stage is on the third floor. It's a multimedia stage, and it features interviews and performances, and we'll have 3 days of content there. We have historians coming from all around the country, and we have some of our local music historians as well that will be featured on that stage. One thing I'm really excited about is Melissa Weber will be interviewing Nicholas Payton. I think that's going to be incredible. And our very own Gwen Tompkins will be interviewing an all-female panel of trumpet players. So I think that's going to be very interesting to hear about their unique experience here in New Orleans as female band leaders.
Yeah. And every year we learn something new about a contribution made by Louis Armstrong. Have we uncovered anything for this year's festival?
Well, we always look to Ricky Riccardi, who comes down, and he is constantly doing research. Of course, he is with the Armstrong House Museum in New York, and he'll be doing something a little bit different this year. The New Orleans Classic Big Band is going to be doing a performance, and he's going to be collaborating with them. They're bringing down some original arrangements from the Armstrong House Museum that the Big Band, I think, has exclusive opportunity to perform, and Ricky Riccardi will be commenting throughout the performance and bringing in some of his insights about these arrangements when Louis Armstrong was originally writing this music.
We're going to knock out one of them little cute little numbers I kind of wrote myself for you this time. The title of this number, Someday. Take it out. Oh, give me another one. Space.
what other elements are involved in the festival.
On Sunday, we'll be bringing back the Jazz Mass at St. Augustine Church, which is a celebrated special event that we do before the festival begins, and that's at 10 a.m. And then at 11 a.m., we will be doing a second line parade, so you can come join us at St. Augustine Church. We'll be parading down Esplanade all the way to the Jazz Museum at the Mint and making our way into the festival grounds. Tanya Boyd Cannon is going to be closing out the festival on Sunday, and she's just an amazing musician and singer. And that will be playing simultaneously with Ashlyn Parker's trumpet tribute. A trumpet tribute to Louis Armstrong and the Trumpet Mafia probably already has 20 trumpet players. It's just this huge, big noise. It's an open mic. It's an open invitation. So we have trumpet players from throughout New Orleans showing up spontaneously. You never know who's going to be there.
Now, Louis Armstrong was known for his love of red beans and rice. Are there culinary elements involved?
It would not be a Louisiana festival if food were not a central feature of the event. So we are thrilled to have so many of our food vendors coming back. Dorniak's will be making red beans and rice with sausage. And we have some new vendors as well. I'm really excited to try some tacos from Gulf Tacos. And Congreso Cubano will be bringing ropa vieja. So that will be something new to try as well.
Now you've got activities for kids.
The Pops Playhouse is featuring lots of different activities. That's on the first floor of the Jazz Museum at the Mint. And we work with a lot of partners throughout the community that bring special craft projects and things that the kids can do. We'll be working with the Junior Zulus to make coconuts. We'll be making drums. We will be making red bean and rice shakers, musical instruments. There will be face painting. And of course, we'll be making parasols as well, so you can stay cool in the sunshine.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
It will be.
How are you hoping people will connect with the legacy of Louis Armstrong?
What comes through with a festival is that it is not all traditional jazz that he would have been playing in his era. It really highlights how prolific his influence is and continues to be in the evolution not only of traditional jazz, but of everything that has evolved from that here in New Orleans. We've got everything from big bands to brass band music to more contemporary jazz and even funk. And, you know, Louis Armstrong, ultimately, he was a pop star. And the music that he wrote and also performed continues to be an inspiration to so many genres.
Festival spokeswoman Emily Madero, thanks.
Thank you.
Sachmo Summerfest, presented by Chevron, takes place at the Jazz Museum at the Mint, August 2nd through 4th. More info is online at sachmosummerfest.org. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.